Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Samech Ches. We're in Samech Zayin Amud Beis. We are halfway down on the Amud. We're going to be starting at the two dots called Shein Lo Alav Kedushin. Yesterday's daf, today's daf, and tomorrow's daf are going to be formulating the fundamental dapim and shas that deal with the ichus. Which marriages take, which marriages don't take. So marriage taking, tfisas Kedushin. So if the Torah prohibits the marriage, so that means the marriage isn't going to take, right? Wrong. That's incorrect. And that's exactly what the Mishnah taught us yesterday. Mishnah groups and categorizes marriages basically into, well, let's call it four different categories. Yesterday we spent all of our day going over category one, category two, and today we're going to be going over category three and category four. Okay, so as a quick recap and a review. So category one is that where the marriage is sanctioned and the... obviously, if the marriage is sanctioned, there's going to be tefisas kedushin, right? Kind of an obvious point, but that's category number one. And then, as far as yichus is concerned, so the child is what? Child is dad. Whatever dad is, that's a child. So as a simple example, if a kohen marries a Yisraelis, so the child's a kohen. We know this already, but in other words, now we are organizing the information, and that's category number one. Category number two. Category number two is where the Torah prohibits it, but there's tefisas kedushin. Even though, despite the fact that the Torah says don't marry her, but if you do, so the marriage takes effect. It will take hold. And now, what is the result? What then is the yichus of that child? Child is whatever is the pugum. The most pugum of the relationship, mom or dad, whichever is more pugum, that's what the child is going to be. Now, we say this as general rules. In yesterday's daf, we noted, like with every single rule, there are exceptions to the rule. So there are exceptions to category number one. There are exceptions to category number two. We went over that yesterday. And that is just but a quick, really quick recap of what we did yesterday. And now we're up to category number three. Category number three is where there is no tefisas kedushin. In other words, you attempt to be mekadesher, and the prohibition is so severe, it's so serious, the kedushin doesn't even take effect. Now, what happens to the child if they produce a child? So if they produce a child, so the child is going to be a mamzer. Now, mind you, by the way, that's not always going to be true. And we're going to touch on this on the tail end of today's daf. Meaning, a Jew and non-Jew, is there tefisas kedushin? The answer is obviously no. There is no tefisas kedushin. There is no construct of marriage when it comes to Jew and non-Jew. So the child is a mamzer? So hold that thought. Now, halachically, just make sure I'll say it clearly on the front end of today's daf, the child is not a mamzer. But it is fair to entertain the question. Because in other words, if there is no tefisas kedushin, and we know that when, let's say, for example, all the chayve krisis, so where there is no tefisas kedushin, the child is a mamzer. So it's fair to wonder. It's more than just wonder. There is an opinion out there in the Gemara. We'll see it at the end of today's daf that Jew and non-Jew, where there is no tefisas kedushin, well, maybe the child's a mamzer. Now again, that's not the halacha, but it's not an incorrect way of thinking. Okay. Good. I can. All right. That takes us to just as a brief introduction. What I didn't do in the introduction is I didn't really spell out category number three, category number four. Let me just do that quickly now, and then we'll start with the daf. Category number three, where there is no tefisas kedushin, and the child is a mamzer. And category number four is that there is no tefisas kedushin, not for you, not for anybody, i.e. a non-Jew. And in category number four, so then what's the child going to be? So the child's going to be kemosa, whatever she is. In other words, if she's a non-Jew, the child's a non-Jew. If she's a shifcha kananis, the child's a shifcha kananis. Okay. Or, I mean, the child could be a male, and the child can then be an eved kanani, but you get the point. Okay. Kol she'in la alav kedusha. We are now ready to embark on today's daf. We are now starting with category number three, and that is the chayvi krisis, where there's no tefisas kedushin. How do I know? How do I know that there is no tefisas kedushin? Interesting, by the way, I'll say clearly on the front end right now, the fact that the product of that union, it's not a marriage, there's no tefisas kedushin, the fact that the product of that union is a mamzer, we're not sourcing that in today's daf, meaning that is correct, it's accurate, it's good information, but we're not sourcing that in today's daf. The fundamental question of today's daf is, how do I know there is no tefisas kedushin by chayvi krisis? That's really what our Gemara is focusing on. On the latter point that the child is a mamzer, so that's a Gemara Yevamos. Meaning for that, you open up the Gemara Yevamos, Memtes, and there the Gemara goes over how we know what the source of the Torah is, that the product of that union is going to be a mamzer. It's based on Smichos Parshios, but that's not our daf. our daf here in Kiddushin, as we are now approaching the end of the third parak, is how do I know there's no tefisas Kiddushin by Chai v'Krisus? Okay, now, it's a big question. It's not a big question, meaning it's a really straightforward question, but it's big in that it occupies a lot of real estate in today's daf. All of the first amud of today's daf is going to attempt to answer this question. Now, over here, the road we're about to embark on is going to be a windy road. All right, there's going to be a lot of turns in the road. And I know I'm going to go through this quickly as we do with every daf. In other words, it would really facilitate taking time, going over it again and again, because over here it does get a little bit complex. It's a little bit of a maze in terms of how we arrive at this conclusion. Well, we know the destination point. There is no Tfisas Kedusha by Chai v'Krisus. Right? You walk out of here, you know that. That's already good. But how we get there? Okay, so it gets a little bit tricky. So Menahani Mili, how do I know that? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan umat ba mishum Rabbi Yana, Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava umat ba mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Okay, so we have a lot of people who are transmitting this information. So Amar Krav v'yatsa mi beis avacha v'aisa lisha acher. So the Torah in describing divorce says v'yatsa mi beis, so she's going to leave. In other words, she was just given a divorce. And v'halcha she'll go v'aisa lisha acher. And now she can remarry. So la'acherim v'lo l'krovim. And who can she marry? Right? V'haisa lisha acher. You know, haisa is always a reference to kiddushin. So she can have an avaya with somebody else, but not just somebody else. It has to be acherim. It has to be an outsider. So an outsider, not an insider. What does that mean? An insider? It means krovim. It means we're talking about relatives. So maskef la Rabbi Abba. Sorry. So that now tells me that when it comes to a karov, which is all the chai v'krisus, so there it is. There is not going to be tfisus kedushin. Maskef la Rabbi Abba ve'ema la acher v'lo levein. So the Gemara says, okay. So all this is based on a deduction because the Torah says acher, which is an outsider and not an insider. So the Torah. So your drasha now is not based on any pasuk that says clearly that there's no tfisus kedushin by all chai v'krisus. All we're doing is doing it via a deduction. So the Gemara says, you know what? Why don't we fine-tune it? Meaning, why don't we say that acher is acher v'lo leben, an outsider but not your son? And the reason why we would do that is because your son obviously is your closest relative, and maybe all the Torah is saying is that there's no tfisus kedushin only by that specific relative, being that relative is so close. La'acher v'lo leben. So the Gemara says, "Bein be'ejekstiv lo yikach isheshes aviv." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we already have a pasuk dedicated to the bein." The pasuk says, "Lo yikach isheshes aviv." You are not allowed to marry your stepmom. And over here, the Torah says, "Lo yikach," meaning there's no likuchin, there's no havaya, there's no kedushin. We already have a pasuk for stepmom. So the Gemara says, "Acher lamali la'acher v'lo l'krovim." Now what that does is that it allows me to open up acher to all the other relatives. The Gemara says, okay, but maybe we could say the following, and that is, I need two psukim for Bain. In other words, two psukim that tell me that there is not going to be tfisus kedushin, but only for the relationship of stepson, stepmother. In other words, and why would I need two psukim? Because one's to tell me don't do, and the other one's to tell me it doesn't even take effect. One is lechatchila and the other is bidyavid. So lechatchila me'achus isha nafka. So the Gemara says lechatchila, the fact that you're not allowed to marry a relative that we already knew. So that we learn from achus isha, your wife's sister. Ma achus isha bekares. Now we know that when it comes to achus isha, so it is one of the chai v'krisus. And the pasuk over there says, the Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk, isha elachosa lo sikach. So we already have the pasuk telling us clearly that there is no likuchim by achos isha. So lo sikad kadesh chayv mitzvos based in lo kol shekein. Sorry. So uma achos isha bekares lo tikadesh chayv mitzvos based in lo kol shekein. And the Gemara says, look, once we establish that achos isha, there's no likuchim, and we already have a pasuk for that. So stepmom stepson relationship, that's a no brainer. Or to use better Gemara terminology, that's a kavachomer. Why is it a kavachomer? Because achus isha is only kares, and your stepmother, that's chai v'misas based in. As we've noted numerous times throughout Chas, in other words, not all arayas are the same in terms of punishment. Some of the arayas are kares, And some of them are Curry's plus Mises based in. Okay? I've yet to wrap my head around why the Torah gives more severe punishments for certain relationships. I don't understand why, but it doesn't matter. I don't have to understand everything. I'd like to, but it doesn't work that way. But the point is that once we know that Achus Isha, there's no Likuchin, and Achus Isha is only Kares, so then Eishes Av, your stepmother, which is beyond Kares, it's Kares plus Mises Beis Din, so Lo Kol Shekein. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we do the following? In other words, we have two psokim now. One is by Achus Isha and the other one is Acher. So why did I say that they both apply to Achus Isha? Meaning we're assuming that the Acher is referring to Bain, right? To Eishes Av, stepmother, stepson. The Gemara says, no. Why don't we say that the Acher is a reference to Achus Isha, your wife's sister, and the pasuk in Parsha of Arayos that tells me the lechatchila din, and the pasuk of Acher that tells me even the bidyevin in Achinami. So the Gemara says, you know what? Point well taken. So now what we've done is, and I told you, it's going to get complicated. So now what we've done is that we've shifted now. We have two psukim, one in the Parsha of Arayos of Achus Isha that there is no likuchin. I have another pasuk by the Parshan Kiseitse regarding Gerishin, that v'haisa li'ish acher, acher velo, right? Somebody else and not an insider. So now what we've done is we shifted. The pasuk by in Kiseitse is referring to Achus Isha. And now what we have are two psukim. One to tell me that lichatchila, the Torah is telling you, first and foremost, don't do it. And then the pasuk by Gerishin tells me, and if you do it, it doesn't even take effect. And all this is by Achus Isha. So the Gemara says, good. So Ashkechan Achus Isha Sha'arayis Minalan. So great. So right now, I know there's no Tfisas Kedushin by one of the Arayas, notably Achus Isha. So the Gemara says, how do I know that it applies to all the other Arayas? So Yalfinan Me Achus Isha Ma Achus Isha Miyachadash Yer V'chayav and Alzdona Karis V'alshikagas V'chatas V'lo Tafsi Ba'kidushin Afkol Shei Erva V'chayav and Alzdona Karis V'alshikagas V'chatas V'lo Tafsi Ba'kidushin. So the Gemara starts off with what we call a Mematzinu, or if you want we can call it Binyanav, synonymous terms. And that is that basically, look here, we'll take a case, we'll look at its characteristics, whatever shares those characteristics are going to have the same halacha. So Achus Isha, what is it? It's an erva. It's a chai v'krisus. If done b'shogeg, it's a karmen chatas. So I'll take whatever shares those characteristics, and I'll say that the same din applies. By Achus Isha, there's no tfisas kedushin. By all other arayos that share those characteristics, there's no tfisas kedushin. Now Bishlam Akulu Asyan, the Gemara says, okay. So now to carry over, using this binyanav, using this mematzinu, to carry it over to all the other arayos, that's great. But Ela Eishas Ish v'Eishas Ach Hikal Mifrach. So the Gemara says, but you know, when it comes to Eishes Ish, when it comes to Eishes Ach, you know, those are special arayos. Special arayos, what makes them special? What makes them unique? So la'achos Eishes Shekeinen la'heter b'makom mitzvah. Tomer Eishes Ach, sheyesh la'heter b'makom mitzvah. So as far as Eishes Ach is concerned, so it is an erva, but erva with an allowance, i.e. the mitzvah of Yibum. So in other words, it's one of those Isurim in the Torah where, under the right circumstances, the Isur goes away. Right. In other words, basically, Masechta Yevamos, and Eishes Ish Namik LaMifrach Malahanach Shekein Ein LaHeter BeChayosran Tamar BeEishes Ish Yesh LaHeter BeChayosran, and also Eishes Ish, right, the adultery. So it's one of the arayos in the Torah. At the same time, however, that woman who currently is married to another man who currently is an erva to you, but you know, either via divorce, right, let's stay with the divorce. Via divorce, she can become mutter to you. So that woman who was an erva could become totally mutter, and the husband's still alive. And that's not true by any of the other arayos. By all other arayos, once an erva, always an erva. Okay. So if you're using binyanav, and you will now want to say that whatever shares characteristics is also going to have no tfisas kedushin, so that works for all your standard arayos. But for the unique arayos, notably Eishes Ach, notably Eishes Ish, so the mematzinu, the binyanav, is not going to work for those two because they're unique. They have leniencies that the rest of the arayos do not have. Okay, so what's happening right now? So we have arrived at an impasse. In other words, we want to know why. How do we know? What's the source that there is no tfisas kedusha by chai v'krisus? So we're using a mem matzinu. Started with the erva of Achos Isha, and the problem is that it doesn't carry over to all the arayos. Okay, so we're now going to try a different path. Elam Rabbi Yonah Vitem Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Amakra Kol Asher Yasem Kol Atoivos HaEla VeNichrasu Hukshu Kol Arayis Kol LaAchos Isha Ma Achos Isha Lo Tafsi BaKedushin Av Kol Arayis Kol Lo Tafsi BaKedushin. And now, what are we going to do in this new pathway? It's called the Hekesh. So over here, in the end of the Parsha of Arayis, Ki Kol Asher Ye Asem Kol Atoivos HaEla VeNichrasu. Anyone who does all of the above, any of the above aforementioned, so it's going to be subject to kares. So it is a summary pasuk, but at the same time, however, that summary pasuk takes all the arayos and blends them together, right? Puts it in the blender, and it's a hekesh. And now once we have a hekesh, so what do we say? A hekesh is airtight. In other words, once you have a hekesh putting everything together, so despite the fact that we can note, and we did note, that there are subtle differences that exist in some of the arayos, it doesn't matter. The Hekesh puts it all together. So, so the Gemara says, okay, Hekesh, I get it. So, if you look at the end of the Parsha of Arayos, so what are you going to note? We're on the very top of Samech Chesem and Aleph, Afilu Nida Nami. You know, one of the Arayos is a Nida, right? Open up the Parsha of Arayos, and over there you're going to find everything we just discussed, Achus Isha, Eishas Ach, right? Eishas Ish, right? All the Arayos, and also Nida. Right, to be with Anida is one of the arayos. So, if a man is with Anida, and when we say with Anida, it could be his wife, in other words, but she's Anida. And if a man's with Anida, so then I'm already at the point of mamzeres. We're gonna back up for just a moment. In other words, let's say you attempt to be Mekadesh Anida. You mean to tell me that the Kedushin doesn't take effect? So the Gemara says, I know it takes effect. So, Alama Amar Abaya, Kol Modim, Bebal Anida, so, Ve'ala Sota, She'navlan Mamzer. You know, there are two Isurim in the Torah, Anida and Sota, where the child is not going to be a Mamzer. Okay. And now we're going to work backwards. Meaning, if the child is not a Mamzer, what does that tell us regarding the Kedushin? It tells us that there is, in fact, going to be Tfisas Kedushin. Right? There is a clear relationship between Mamzeris and Tfisas Kedushin. Right? That's a critical and fundamental point of the entire daf today. So once we know that with Anida, the child is not a mamzer, so now we're going to work backwards. It's almost like a little reverse engineering. We're going to work backwards, and now we know that there is, in fact, going to be Tfisas Kedushin. But the Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. Nida is found in the Parsha of Arayos, and we have a Hekesh grouping together, blending together all the Arayos. So for all the arayos, there's no tefisas kedushin. Same thing should be true regarding nida. So I'm rechizki amakravati nidasa alav. I feel b'shas nidasa tehe ba'avaya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but nida's an exception. Why? Because the pasuk says. The pasuk says vatihi nidasa alav or usihi. Okay. So therefore, even though she's a nida havaya, there's going to be tefisas kedushin. Ah, really interesting. So now we just said that Nida is an exception. There's Tfisas Kedushin by Nida, and the child is not going to be a mamzer. Okay. And by the way, we all know this, meaning this is something where even if you do not have a lot of familiarity with Gemara, we all know. Meaning if the parents are Jewish, mom didn't go to the mikvah, mom never went to the mikvah, child is a mamzer? No. Despite the fact that it's an Issachar race, but the child is not a mamzer. We know that. But in other words, but now we're seeing it in the Gemara. Okay, good. So now, what just happened? So we now have, in the Parsha of Arayos, we have two clear points. One, Achos Isha, there is no Tfisas Kedushin. Nida, there is Tfisas Kedushin. And we have a Hekesh. They're all put into the blender, and they're all the same. So the Gemara says, wait one second, they're all the same. Well, which one is the rule, and which one's the exception? That's the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, Michti. Okay, so great question. So now we have a Hekesh blending them all together, where we have the rule. I don't understand. Two of them, we know what the din is with two of them. Which one's the rule? Meaning you're saying Achos Isha where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, that's the rule. Nida's the exception. I got a great idea. Why doesn't Nida become the rule that there is Tfisas Kedushin? And Achos Isha is now the exception. So the Gemara's answer is l'kula l'chumra, l'chumra makshinan. So the Gemara says, look, when we're making a hekesh, and the hekesh can take us down two pathways, either a chumra or a kula, as a rule, hekesh always results in chumra, not in kula. Okay. And if I may, I'm just gonna tease your thoughts for just a moment. So obviously, the fact that there's no tfisas kedushin is in fact a chumra, because then the child is going to be a mamzer. But you know, if there is tfisas kedushin, that could also be a chumra. Why? Because now this woman's married, and now she can't be with anyone else. So the idea that that there's no tfisas kedushin is a chumra. The idea that she's married also could be viewed as a chumra. And the Gemara is clearly looking at it from the former, not the latter. What I just said is Tosos, meaning Tosos Divrei HaMaskil L'Chumra asks and discusses this very point. But again, I just dropped it. I'm going to run. In other words, the point is that we have a Hekesh. It's true we have the rule of Achos Isha. It's true we have the rule of Nida. And we can make a Hekesh in one of the two directions. But as a rule of Hekesh, you always go in the direction of Chumra, not in the direction of Kula. It's a lot. I know.
Also, having relations when you need a, how do you get pregnant in the first place?
In other words, Nida, okay, just to help you out, the Nida status continues and perpetuates well beyond the point where she actually is a Nida.
Oh, okay.
If she doesn't, yeah, good. No, it's a good clarification. In other words, if she's a Nida and then she finishes, but she doesn't go to the mikvah, status wise, she's still Nida.
Okay, so not going to the mikvah,
you're still a Nida.
And they cohabit. So
perfect. Worried. It's an excellent clarification. Okay, so where are we right now? So we are not halfway through the daf, but we're basically halfway through our first point of today's daf. Okay? That's a lot of time to just get through a point, a single point. I told you. So it's a long answer, and we're not done yet. We're only halfway through. So the question is very simple. How do I know there's no tfisas kedushin by Chai v'krisus? How do I know? So right now, we are landing on Hekesh. Okay. That's it for now, for this moment in time. Hekesh is the answer. The Gemara now is going to supplement. Now, again, if we spent more time with the daf today, we would try to ascertain whether this is a supplemental answer. This is a new answer, totally forgetting the Hekesh approach. Okay. Anyway, but let's right now call it another approach. So the Gemara says, we're going to learn it via Kavachomer from Yavama. Now, Yavama, my Yavama Shi Balav, Lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin. Now, when it comes to Yavama, the Torah says, Lo Siya Eisha Samesa Chutzal Ish Zar. So when a woman is a Yavama, so that means to say that she had a husband, Rachmanis' husband died. They didn't have children. And there is a surviving brother. So at this point in time, there's a Zika between brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and at this point in time, she is a formal Yevama. Now, can she marry somebody else? No. The violation, if in fact she tries to marry somebody else, is a law in the Torah. It's a law in the Torah. Now, if somebody attempts to be Mekadesh her, other than her brother-in-law, does it take effect? The answer is no. Unequivocally no. So now, the Gemara says, if by Yavama, which is only a lav, we say that, of course, in relative terms, it's only a lav and there's no tfisus kedushin, so chai v'misus v'chai v'krisus lo kosher kein. So then, there should not be tfisus kedushin, neither by chai v'krisus and chai v'misus based in. Obviously, they are more severe. They're much more. Now, yihachi shai chai v'lav v'nami. So the Gemara says, okay, now if we're going to take this approach of kal v'chomer, so the Gemara is going to ask an obvious question. Really? So Yavama, where it's only an Isser Lav, and there's no Tfisas Kedushin, so anything greater than that also is not going to have Tfisas Kedushin. Get it? But anything equal to that should also mean no Tfisas Kedushin. Meaning, why don't we extend it now to all Chai V'Lavin, that there's no Tfisas Kedushin? Now, we know that's not true because, go back to yesterday's Daf. Yesterday's Daf, we spent an entire Daf discussing how by Chai V'Lavin there is Tfisas Kedushin. So, in other words, it's an untenable conclusion, but if you're going to go with this approach, why don't we say that? So, Amara, Papa Chai V'Lavin, Behejik Sivbu. So the Gemara says, yeah, Chai V'Lavin, I know there's Tfisas Kedushin. How do I know that? Because the Torah says, Kisian Elish, Shtei Nashim Achas, Avavachat Znuah. in the beginning of Parshas Kisei, say the Torah describes how you have two wives, one who's beloved and the other one is hated. So v'chi yeshnu lefnei amakom ovu lefnei amakom. Now over here, the understanding of the Gemara immediately is when the Torah describes ahuvan snua, it's not talking about the relationship between him and his wives. One wife he hates, the other one he loves. The Torah is not describing that. Now it's interesting from a pshat standpoint. You know, we could have said that. The Gemara is assuming that's not the case. I'll explain better in just a moment why the Gemara assumes that's not the case. So if it's not, if we're not talking about the relationship, so what do we mean ahuva and snua? El ahuva ahuva binisu eha and snua snua binisu eha. When we say love and love and hate, we're talking about the marriage itself, meaning the Torah's view of the marriage, right? A sanctioned marriage, ahuva. A non-sanctioned marriage, snua. And kamarachman kisiena, and the Torah says there is tfisas kedushin in both types of marriages. Okay. I'm going to put a period over here. Or in other words, the conversation continues, but let's just pause for a moment right now. The Torah says that the Gemara says that teaches me, that beginning Parshas Ki Seitz, it teaches me that there is in fact tfisas kedushin by chayv elavin in general. Okay. How do the Gemara know immediately that ahuva and snua is not talking about just the relationship between him and his wives? So Tosfos over here, the bottom Tosfos over here says as follows. What's the point of that parsha? The point of that parsha, right? If you're familiar with the parsha, I hope you are. So if you're familiar with the parsha, you need to be in order to appreciate the Gemara. So is that you have two wives and there's a bechor, and the bechor is coming from the wife which is not so, you know, which is not the most exciting wife. It doesn't matter. In other words, he's the bechor, period, and end of discussion. I'm just saying this parenthetically, by the way. A parenthetical note, in all of Sefer Bereishis, I mean, with almost no exception, we bypass the bechor. Okay. Close parentheses. Okay. Sorry. It just I struggle with that. But in other words, but in Parshas Ki Seitze, the Torah says very clearly, you put aside your own personal issues and your oldest is the oldest for the din of Bechor who gets Pishnayim. That's the whole point of the Parsha. So Tosfos points out over here, it can't be talking about your personal relationship with the wives because you have personal feelings about one wife over another wife. Why would that at all affect the din of Bechor? Meaning, I understand, what do you mean, how would it affect it? Personal issues. In other words, but from a legal standpoint, just because you like one more than the other isn't going to change the din of Bechor. So in other words, Tosfos says that the only reason why the Gemara is entertaining ahuva and snua is talking about the relationship is that maybe there's a legal argument to make, not a feeling argument, but a legal argument to make that this son should get preferable treatment than that son. What's the legal argument? That marriage is on the up and up. That marriage is a questionable marriage. It's more than questionable. The Torah told you not to marry her. That's a legal argument. Now you understand. It's such a good Tosfos. It really helps understand. Simple pshat of the Gemara. That's why the Gemara is assuming immediately ahuva and snua is not talking about your personal feelings, because that's not going to play in the court of law. Who cares about your personal feelings in the court of law? What's the legal argument? The legal argument is that marriage is good. That's a legitimate marriage. That marriage, not good. Illegitimate marriage. Torah not told you not to marry her. Now you understand.
What about the status of the before, though? If it comes from an illegitimate
Exactly the point. As long as there's fisas kedushin, so then he has to be recognized as a bechor. That's exactly the Gemara's point.
And if there's not, and it's still a child.
What do you mean if it's not? If it's not, meaning not what?
Not kavisas.
If there's no tfisas kedushin, then he's a mamzer.
And not considered.
It seems to be that way.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that point. Excellent.
I mean, the bechor, you know, it's whether
a mamzer inherits regularly, like.
Right. That's why I'm uncertain. Okay.
That was the reason.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Now. We are good. So we are now in the second approach of the Gemara that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by all your Chayvei Krisus, and we're learning it from Yevama. Even though Yevama is only a lav, but that's exactly the point. Yevama is a lav, and we're now using a Kal v'chomer. Well, if the lav, there's no Tfisas Kedushin, so then anything above it, there's certainly not Tfisas Kedushin. Why don't we say that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by the other Chayvei Lavin? And the answer is because the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze. Kisiyen al-ish ne'nashim. Okay, good. Perfect. Now the Gemara is going to move its discussion over to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, everything I just said is good, correct? I hope. Everything I said is good, but now we're shifting. We're moving over now to Rabbi Akiva, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which we've alluded to numerous times already, but we say it again. Rabbi Akiva is of the position that even if it's Chayvei Lavin, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. Now, I know that runs against everything I just said, but everything I just said is the consensus viewpoint, the majority viewpoint. Rabbi Akiva has a unique position. He's a das yachid on this issue. Rabbi Akiva says that chayvei lavin, there's no tfisas kedushin. And so now the Gemara is going to wonder, it's a wonderful question. If I subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, what am I doing now with that parsha that we just went through? Kisien elish de nashim. Achas alva, achas nua. And we just said that the snua is where there is tfisas kedushin, despite the fact that's chayvei lavin. According to Rabbi Akiva, once it's chayvei lavin, there is no tfisas kedushin. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to be spending a little time trying to figure this out. So ula Rabbi Akiva damar in kedushin tovzin bechayvei lavin kisi and leish by my mukim. So the Gemara asks exactly this question: what is Rabbi Akiva going to do with all the above? So the Gemara says, Aman al kohen gadol. So according to Rabbi Akiva, here's what I'm going to say. That parsha in the Torah of Kisiana is talking about an Aman Kohen Gadol, which just if you think about it, it's so strange. Because the parsha is like speaking in very, very broad terms. If a man has two wives, and now, because of a halachic difficulty, according to Rabbi Akiva, you know who that man is? He's a Kohen Gadol. Okay. Anyway, so, but, and a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana, so Rabbi Akiva normally would say the child is a mamzer, this is the exception. Why? Why is the exception? Because the Torah says it's an exception. Okay. So, Ula Rabbi Yishev of Damar Boman Vinitzvach Akiva Ben Yosef. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about Rabbi Yesheva? Because Rabbi Yesheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva is that any illicit union, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. And that means that any illicit union, the child is going to be a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva. So this Rabbi Yesheva interpretation of Rabbi Akiva. So now it comes out that all Chayvei Lavin, including Kohen Gadol to an Amana, is now going to result in no Tfisas Kedushin. And the problem is, Kisiyana. In other words, so what's the parsha of Kisiyana talking about? So the Gemara here says, okay, but if Rabbi Yeshevav is only responding to Rabbi Simai, so then it's fine. What's fine? So over here, this part of today's daf is by far and away the most complicated, but the Rashi over here navigates and takes us through. I'm summarizing Rashi, meaning that if Rabbi Yeshevav is just a response to Rabbi Simai, Rabbi Yeshevav was just talking about Chayvei Lavin. And all of them are included. However, what about Chayvei Asei? What is Chayvei Asei? For example, Egyptian. Right? The Torah says, which Egyptian converts can you marry? Only third generation. Right? We just discussed this yesterday. G3. Only the third generation Egyptian convert you're allowed to marry. Which means G1, G2, you're not allowed to marry. But the Torah doesn't say it. It's a deduction. This is what's called a lav haba mechlal asei. And therefore, from a status standpoint, it's an iser asei. So now that means that according to Rabbi Yeshevav, for Rabbi Akiva, there is a union which there is going to be Tzvisas Kedushin, which is going to be your chayvei asei, i.e. Egyptian converts. Ela e time of denafshe kamar. However, if it's time of denafshe, if what he's saying is an independent comment. Rabbi Yeshevav wasn't responding to Rabbi Simai. Rabbi Yeshevav was saying that all illicit unions are in fact going to be, there's Tfisas Kedushin will not take place, will not take hold. So now, but my mukimla. It would include even chayve aseh and my mukimla. And now, kisi en l'shtei nashim, I got nothing left to fit into that parsha. So the Gemara says, Be'ula l'kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, well, there's one case that you can fit in over there, and that's Be'ula l'kohen gadol. In other words, the woman, perfectly Jewish, right? No isurim. It just happens to be she's not a besula. And who elects to marry her? The Kohen Gadol elects to marry her. Now the Torah says the Kohen Gadol is to marry a besula, not a beula. So the Gemara says, so Maishna. So, why? Meaning, if Rabbi Akiva's position, as interpreted by Rabbi Shevav, is that all illicit unions are going to not have Tisa's Kedushin, so why would this be an exception? Because it is a mitzvah essay, an iser essay, which only applies to the Kohen Gadol and to nobody else. Okay, so that was complicated. Meaning that basically what the Gemara wanted to do is, if I'm Rabbi Akiva, how do I navigate through the Pesukim of Kisiena? And the Gemara gave us the tools in terms of how to navigate. Now, v'rabbanan, ad'mukla b'chayv alavinuk men b'chayv asay. So the Gemara says, now, let's turn our attention back to the Chachamim. Meaning, we left now Rabbi Akiva. We're now back to the Chachamim. The Chachamim have the Parsha of Kisiena. They say that who's the snua? Chayv alavin. The Gemara says, well, how do they know that? Meaning, why can't the snua just be chayv asay? So, hani chayv asay b'mayninu ishtayem mitzrios. So, shteim snua. So the Gemara says, well, look, if the two wives under discussion are both Egyptian, so then they're both snua. And e achas mitzri achas Israelis. And if one is Egyptian, the other's Jewish, so shtei nashim me'am echad be'inan. Well, they have to be of one nationality because shtei nashim indicates one nationality. Okay, I'm not totally sure how the Gemara sees that as clearly as it does, but the Gemara assumes it's one nationality. And e ba'ula kohen gadol miksiv tiyena l'kohen. And what do you want to tell me? It's Bu'ula Kohen Gadol? The Torah says Ish. The Torah doesn't say Kohen Gadol. And Rabbi Akiva, Baal Karchi Shavke Lekra David Dachi Kumukei Anav Shei. And Rabbi Akiva, who does interpret the Shtei Nashim as being Kohen to Bu'ula, how did he arrive there? The Gemara says he was forced into that position, meaning he had no choice but to explain it that way. Because Rabbi Akiva's starting point is that there is no Tfisas Kedushin. Not by Chayve Mises Beisdin. Not by Chayve Krisis. Not by Chayve Lavin. Not even by Chayve Asay. So according to Rabbi Akiva, now I have the pasuk of Shtei Nashim, the parsha of Shtei Nashim. So he's forced into the position. It's Kohen Gadol to Be'ula, because he's got nothing left. Okay. So granted, the Gemara is acknowledging for Rabbi Akiva, it's a stretch. But in other words, because of his position, he's got nothing left to work with. Okay. I have to admit that was a lot. Most of today's daf. Yeah, we're going to talk. Most of today's daf has been addressing, sorry, all of today's daf so far has been addressing one simple question. And that is that when you have a chayve krisus, so there is no tfisus kedushin, minale. How do I know that? So just as a quick summary and just an easy review of today's daf. So approach number one is hekesh. Well, the Gemara tried binyanav, but the Gemara said it really arrived at an impasse. So one is the hekesh of Rabbi Yonah, which really we were introduced to on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Beis. And number two, and the second one is going to be the Kal V'chomer from Yevama. Yevama is a lav, and there's no Tfisas Kedushin, so Kal V'chomer to the Chavi Krisus and to the Mises Beis Din. And then what we did is that we just tried to figure out, how do I know that by all other Chavi Lavin there is going to be Tfisas Kedushin, and the Gemara navigated through that. But as a simple summary of today's daf so far, there is no Tfisas Kedushin by Chavi Krisus. Either it's Hekesh or it's Kal V'chomer. Okay, that's a real oversimplification. Next, we're on the very bottom of Samech Ches Amud Aleph. V'chol mi she'in lo alav shivcha kenanis minalan. Okay, so the women where there is no Tfisas Kedushin, not for you, not for anybody, and those women are non-Jews and shivcha kenanis. So again, sourcing. How do I know? So minale. Or minalan. How do I know? We're on Samech Ches Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the bottom. So as far as Shivcha Kananis is concerned, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Makra. Shulachem po'im ha-chamor am hadome le-chamor. Okay, so you're going to stay here with the chamor. This is Akedas Yitzchak. Okay, not so long ago, we did this on Rosh Hashanah. And not so distant in the future, we're going to be doing this in the Sedra. So anyway, so this is Akedas Yitzchak. And Shulachem po'im ha-chamor. So you, my helpers. So you're going to be here with the chamor. He's talking to his Eved. He's also talking to his other son as well. But I got way too many parenthetical notes in today's daf. you could strike them from the record. So, but anyway, but over here it's clearly a reference to Eliezer. Eliezer was his Eved Kenani, and Am Hadom LaChamor. And we know by Chamor, obviously, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. Neither is there going to be by an Eved Kenani as well. Ashkechan Delo Tafsi Ba Kedushin. So Vlad de Kamosa Minalan. How do I know that the Vlad, the child, is going to be Kimosa? Meaning, what's the child status going to be? Like the parent. So Amakra Isha V'Yalda Tiyala Adoneha. So the Gemara says, okay, because Isha V'Yalda. So Tiyala Adoneha. Okay, good. That's in Parshas Mishpatim, the very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, where there the Torah tells us that you can pair your Eved Ivri to the Shifcha Kananis, but all those children are hers. Which, by the way, when I say hers, I really mean yours, if you're following. Okay. Nachris Minalan, and now the other woman where there is no Tfisas Kedushin, not for you, not for anybody else. And that, of course, is a non-Jew. How do I know? In other words, simple question. Jew and non-Jewish woman. No Tfisas Kedushin. So how do I know? So Amakra, Velosis Chatim Bam. So the Torah says you're not allowed to marry them. Now, contextually, look up the Psukim inside, and you will see contextually that's talking about the seven Canaanite nations. Gemara is going to make that point momentarily. We're coming back. Ashkechan lo tafse ba kedushe, vlad de kamos min alan. Okay, good. So that just tells me that there's no tfisas kedushin. What's the status of the child? So in other words, so fine. So but you procreate with her, and you have a child. And what's the status of that child? So the child is going to be her, meaning not Jewish. How do I know? So I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm a Kraki Asir Esbincha Me'acharai. So here's I got to read a little bit more of the Pesukim. The Torah says, Bitcha lo sitein livno, ubito lo sikach livincha. So don't give your daughter over to his son, meaning, again, contextually it's talking about the Shiva Amamim, and bito lo sikach livincha. And don't take one of their daughters for your son. Ki yasir is bincha me'acharai. Because what's going to happen is that he's going to take bincha me'acharai, your son from you. Va'avdu Elohim acharim. Okay, and they're going to take and they're going to serve other gods. Okay, so in the pasuk, in the context that I just read, so there are two descriptions. One is don't take one of them to marry your son, meaning don't take one of their girls to marry your son, and don't take one of their daughter. Boys to marry your daughter. Now, when the Torah says that, and what's going to happen? Yasir is bincha. He's going to take your son. Meaning, what context is the Torah describing when it says your son? So bincha bam Yisrael is kare bincha. So in other words, when your daughter marries one of their sons, that's bincha. However, ein bincha ba min ha'ovad es kocham kari bincha. But if it is your son with one of their daughters, that's not bincha, ela bina, because it's her son. So in other words, in terms of just basic status of Jew, it's going to follow the mother. Okay. Right? In other words, that which, you know, obviously becomes an incredibly important modern question, but the Gemara over here tells us that status of the Jew is going to be a function of the mother. So Amr Avina Shmamina ben Bitcha Haba Minaove Kocham Kari Bincha. So the Gemara says, fine. So what you deduce from here is that Ben Bincha, that when you have a grandson, but in other words, grandson via your daughter, so that's Ben. That, in other words, that's considered your son, i.e. Jewish. So name because of Ravina, so the Gemara says, now as far as Ravina is concerned, Ove Kochavim, the Evid Abba Bas Yisrael, so Avlad Mamzer. So the Gemara says, now, are we ready to arrive at the conclusion that the child is going to be a mamzer? So in other words, why don't we take what we learned in category number 3 and now just simply apply it to category number 4? Meaning, what did we learn in category number 3? When there's no tfisas kedushin, the child is a mamzer. That's a category 3 rule. So now, let's just simply use it and apply it to category number 4. Because over here, category number four is basically category number three, but augmented, significantly augmented. Meaning, there's no Tfisus Kedushin with you, and there's no Tfisus Kedushin with anyone else. With the Shivcha Kananis and with the Nachriya, so there is simply no Tfisus Kedushin. The child is Jewish, okay, that part I get. Meaning, the child is Jewish if mom is a Jew. I get that part I get. But because there's no Tfisus Kedushin, so that should mean Jewish and a mamzer, right? And I foreshadowed this at the beginning of today's daf, but now as we're approaching here at the end of today's daf, why don't we say that? So the Gemara says, Nihi, Kasha lohave, mamzer lohave, pasul mikre. So the Gemara lands on a very interesting spot. So the Gemara says, look, the child is Jewish. The child is not a mamzer. So, but where does the child land in terms of a yichus standpoint? So the child lands on a yichus standpoint at the direction of psul. Now, psul, in other words, pasul over here means pasul l'kahuna. In other words, right, not a mamzer, but at the same time, having the status of being unable to marry a kohen. Okay, so let's do just a little bit more. So, okay. How do I know that there is no Tfisus Kedushin by Shifcha Kananis? How do I know that there's no Tfisus Kedushin by a Nachriya? So the Gemara just gave us a sourcing. Additional to that, we also know that as it relates to the status of the child, when it comes to a Shifcha Kananis, the child is her. So in other words, she's a Shifcha Kananis, the child is going to be, if male, Eva Kanani, if female, Shifcha Kananis. If Nachriya, so what's the child? The child's going to be her as well, which means that the child's not going to be Jewish. But that means, though, however, if I flip it, meaning if we take mom being Jewish and the father being not Jewish, so the child is going to be Jewish. And then the Gemara just simply clarified, Jewish and mom's there? So the Gemara says, no, Jewish and pasul. Okay, meaning can't marry a kohen. Now, one more thread we're going to try to tie up. And that is, how b'shiva goyim ksiv, sharum is minala. So the Gemara says, yeah, the psukim that you just cited, ki asir, that if you look contextually, you'll see it's talking about the seven Canaanite nations. So over here, everything I just said is correct, but it seems to be limited to only the Shiva Amamim. Amakra, Kiyasir Esbincha, Lerabbas Kol Amisirim. Anyone who's going to take your child away from Yiddishkeit, so is included. In other words, basically, we're Dorish Taima Dekra. The Torah over here says, yes, contextually, we're talking about the Shiva Amamim, but over here, we're able to extend it because we understand why. In other words, they're going to take you away from the from Yiddishkeit. So hanicha l'Rabbi Shimon d'Darish Shimon d'Kra l'Rabbanan my taima. So the Gemara says, great. So if you are of this school of thought that you can be Darish Taima d'Kra, this is perfect. Meaning Rabbi Shimon is Darish Taima d'Kra. Again and again throughout Shas, we identify Rabbi Shimon as the Tana who uses such a platform of I'm going to understand the Torah and I'm able to now extend it. But in other words, that is the unique viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, right? The consensus view is no. In other words, you can't extend halacha just because of it's rational, it's logical. So the Gemara says, Amakra, v'acha kein tavo ila uve'alta, mechal demikar lo tafsi ba'kedushin. So the Gemara says, okay, so how do I know that there's no Tfisus Kedushin by a general Nachriah, meaning not just a Shiva Amamim. So for that, we're going to go to the beginning of Parshas Kisetze again today. But over here, when I say the beginning of the Parsha, we're going to Eishes Yifas Torah. And in the Parsha of Eishes Yifas Torah, what do we say? That what's going to happen is that she'll convert, and then you'll marry her. Because you can't marry her before she converts. Because no Tfisus Kedushin. And over there, we're not talking about the Shiva Amamim. Because if you look over there, the Eishes Yifas Torah is talking about Mechemes Rishus, not Mechemes Mitzvah. Ashkechan lo tafsi ba kedushin vlad dekamos minalan. Great. So now I know there's no Tfisus Kedushin. How do I know that the child is her, meaning the child is not Jewish? Amakar kisiena leish vialdulo kol hecha de karina be kisiena karina be vialdulo v'chol hecha de lo karina be kisiena lo karina be vialdulo. So the Gemara says, okay. So for that, the relationship between Havaya, meaning Kedushin, and the child being Jewish. If there's Kedushin, the child's Jewish, but if there's no Kedushin, i.e. Jew to a non-Jewish woman, so then the child is not going to be Jewish. Okay. We have a little bit more to go. Let's pause over here. I know. We're not that far away from the next Mishnah. Let's pause over here. We'll wrap it up tomorrow. Okay. Let's quickly summarize. Yeah. The music's about to start. You know how it works here. Quick. Okay. Today, an exploration of Category 3 and Category 4 of our Mishnah. Category 3 is by Chai V'Krisus. There's no Tfisus Kedushin. Me, Nolan, how do I know it? That is the entirety of Amud Aleph of today's daf. Hekesh, Kavachomer. Okay, good. That's all Amud Aleph in a gross oversimplification. But the rule is very clear. There is no Tfisus Kedushin by Chai V'Krisus, period. Then, second part of today's daf, Samaches Amud Beis. What about a Shifcha Kananis? What about a Nachriya? So there's no Tfisus Kedushin at all. And what's the child going to be? The child's going to be mom. Mom's the Shifcha Kananis, the child's going to be Shifcha Kananis. Mom's a Nachriya, the child's going to be a Nachriya. Where's the source for that? So that's what we did on the Amud Beis of today's daf.